going to have fun and games this morning. I'm looking forward to it. I love doing object lessons. But anyway, that might help. First of all, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that everyone would hear what you want them to hear, and you would touch every heart that's listening to this. Be glorified and lifted up and exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to get out some of my little tricks because I'm going to need them. It's going to be fun and games. I enjoy doing fun and games. All right, can I please? No, okay, first of all, warning any parents here who've got kids with them, we're going to be turning the lights off. Everyone can get their phones in their hands. Told you it's going to be fun and games. Get your phones in the hands, ready? Okay. Can I please have the lights turned off? All right, yep. Some still missing. Dave, can you give me... Oh, no, he's done it. What about that one? You can do that one? Thank you. All right. I didn't say turn them on yet. I just said have them in your hand. Please, don't jump the gun. And all this is going to be without notes, so there we go. You all right, Dave? Can you see it? You want a light over there? He's trying. He's trying. It's the one we didn't know. He's busy doing something else. Do you want a torch? Ah, yes, brilliant. I know it's not perfectly dark, but it's as good as we can get, and that's okay. All right, so darkness and light. When it is dark, you can't see much. If it was really, really dark and we didn't have emergency lights and the screen, even though it's black, wasn't glowing, it would be really hard to move around safely because you couldn't see. Now, when we used to live up in Quinns Rocks, we had a room, bedroom, a master bedroom that was really dark. I think the people who'd been there were, they'd worked shift work. They had roller shutters. They had wooden blinds. They had curtains with block out lining, and they had a pelmet on every window. It was fantastic. But when I needed to get up for the toilet in the night, or when our granddaughter was sleeping with us and she wanted to get up for the toilet in the night, it wasn't so good. So we got a little, one of these, you can get a plug from Bunnings that's got like a sensor in so that when you move, it glows. It actually lights up. That's fine. You can go so far. You can go into the toilet, turn the light on in there, finish, come out. Ah, the sensor is on the other side of the bed. It's not going to pick you up till you're over there. That's when I started using my little faithful torch. This little torch, the batteries aren't very strong because I use it all the time. But it gives me enough light to see. I can move around fairly safely. I'm not going to try going down the steps because heels and skirts are a different matter altogether. But this gives me enough light to just walk a little bit. Now, there was a time recently when we were living up in Chittering. Think rural. Think no pavements, no street lights. At night, you can see the whole of the Milky Way across the sky. So we're in this little cottage. Most of our stuff is in storage, but we're in this little cottage, and we have a power cut. And it is black. And normally, I have a lot of candles around the house. You know, within 10 seconds, I can have 20 candles lit. I had no candles. I was devastated. I like to be prepared. If anyone knows me, they know if you need a safety pin, I've got one. If you need a Band-Aid, I've got one. If whatever you need, good chance I've got it in my handbag. I like to be prepared. I was a good girl guide. I went out and bought candles the next day. But anyway, torches. When I used to go walking around the estate, remember, rural, no street lights, no pavements. You've got the road, you've got gravel, you've got a ditch. And when I was walking early in the morning, I needed my little torch. It couldn't show me a long way ahead. Gives me enough for the next step and the next step, because I don't want to be falling down that ditch. Now, this other torch is the same torch, but it's got brand new batteries in. It makes them more light. I can see the first row pretty well. Then, man-sized stuff. This is hubby's work torch. So I can see right onto the back wall now. Yay, hey Ken. So now, if you all turn your torches on your phones or just light your phones up, now you can do it. That's it, yes. We've got lights going on everywhere. Look at that. So there's not just light in one place, coming from one place. There's lights all over the room. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, guys, can we please have the lights back on now? And everybody else, you can put your phones down unless you're using them as a Bible. You can tell I should have been a teacher because I can get really bossy. I can. I know, I heard that. I can. But isn't it interesting? Think about darkness. Where does darkness come from? Speak up loud. Lack of light, that's right. But light, where does light come from? Yeah, okay. It comes from whatever is a source. Light has a source. So darkness doesn't have a source. Can the darkness, we're talking just physical darkness, can the darkness do anything to the light? No. But can the light do something to the darkness? It can dispel the darkness. So, sometimes, I had one more thing to do. I don't know if it's still going to work. I'm going to try this. Now, Kenny, just your light. Can you switch it off again? Cam, you can leave those on. Is he back in? Yep. I'm just going to try this quickly. I'm going to put that down, so I'm going to shout. Now, this little source of light, if I get something going in front of it, can you see the light now? If I move it further away, can you see a ring of light around the edge, maybe? If I go far enough, if you're in the right place. All right. Okay, lights back on, thank you. In America yesterday, they had an annular eclipse. I had to look up what was the difference, because I'm thinking, well, in an eclipse, the moon goes in front of the sun. So what's an annular eclipse? So the moon has an elliptical orbit around the Earth. Sometimes it's closer to the Earth and sometimes it's further away. Sometimes it's closer to the sun and sometimes it's further away. So with an annular eclipse, the moon is at its furthest point from the sun. Anyway, it's smaller, so it doesn't cover the moon, it covers the sun entirely. That's why you can see the ring around the edge of it. So lights and shadows and things in the way. Perspective is a great thing. If you put your thumb up in front of the sun, it blocks out the sun. But it doesn't mean that your thumb is bigger than the sun. It's just where it is in relation to everything else. So there we go, fun and games. The other thing about light, and I would have loved to have been able to demonstrate this. I've got this beautiful sun catcher at home. And when the sun shines through it in the morning, I get these rainbows dancing all around the walls in the garden. I don't know if it's because that light isn't the same as sunlight, but if you get a prism, most famous record cover in the world, if you don't know what a record is, ask your parents or your grandparents. White light contains in it all the different colors. And that's what a rainbow is. So thanks, hubby, for... There we go. As good a demonstration as I could get of that. So having no light is like being blind. Now, we know Johnny, bless his heart, where he's at the back, he can't hear. Pastor Dave's son can't hear. Pastor Matilda's son as well can't hear. But he can still see us. He can still move around quite safely because he can see everything that's in his way. He can see all the obstacles. He's got a way now of communicating. But if you're blind, you are quite cut off from everything around you. You would knock into things all the time if you didn't know where they were. You know, I can't even imagine if you're born blind, how can you visualize a map of where things are? Because, you know, it's one thing to have your sight and lose it, but if you're born blind, how's that going to work? Now, I read recently, if you know the old hymn, Blessed Assurance, and To God Be the Glory, wonderful hymns, they were written, the words were written by an American lady called Fanny Crosby, and she was born blind, or they discovered at 6 weeks she was blind. She wrote almost 9,000 hymns. She wrote popular songs, she wrote poetry, but she said, when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Saviour. So, all right, as some of you were saying earlier, when we think of light, where does it come from? It comes from God, because God is light. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, I'm going to cover some of the stuff that Pastor Dave covered last week. My first thought was, he's stealing my thunder, but then I thought, it's confirmation. That's all right. We're going to go from one end of the Bible to the other and cover everything. No, not quite everything, but we're going to cover a lot today because it's all about the Word of God. What I think and what I feel and everything else is irrelevant compared to the Word of God. That's what's important. So Genesis 1, creation story. You probably, most of you know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. And God divided between the light and the darkness. He called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and morning. Now, that's a weird way of putting things, because when we think of a day, we think of the morning, the sunrise, go through the day, get to the evening, time to go to sleep. But the Hebrews begin each new day at sunset. And I was thinking, now, does that influence how we view rest and how we view sleep? You know, the sort of almost probably the Victorian ethos was, you know, you have to work before you can play. You know, you have to do your work and then you can rest. But what if the Hebrews, they have, you know, having the rest first, the rest was what enabled them to work. It's a completely different sort of mindset. Just to throw that in, off the cuff, not exactly. Okay, carrying on down to Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the days and the day and the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which we would call the sun, and the smaller light to rule the night, which we would call the moon, and the stars also. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide between the light and the darkness. And God saw it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, I had a revelation of this a few years back, and it just blew my mind. Because when we think of light, we think of the sun. You know, it's just so fundamental to all of us. I remember probably in the 90s, there was an eclipse here in Perth that was, I think, 93%. The kids got sent home from school, and there was all this, oh, you know, make a pinhole, look at the image of it and everything. We tried doing that, and it was really weird because it was still light, but you couldn't see as much. And you needed to turn the light on in the house. And I think this is why they sent the kids home from school, and they said you shouldn't be out driving and all the rest of it. But you didn't really need a pinhole. Every little gap between you and the sun, so every gap in between leaves of a tree, every hole in your patio roof, everything was giving the image of the the moon covering the sun as a shadow on the floor. And light is just so pervasive. It's everywhere. You know, when it's daytime and the curtains are open, it brings light into your whole house. It's, you know, we forget that there is a source, and it's the sun that's shining in the sky. You know, it's a star that's lighting the whole solar system. But light, you know, so we so much associate the light with the sun that thinking back to day one, day two, and day three, there was no sun. So what was the light? And if you really want to drive yourself crazy, how come there was night? Because if God is light and in him there's no darkness at all, why wasn't that light shining right at the very beginning? Why wasn't it dark at the beginning? Why wasn't it light at the beginning? Why was there darkness? And where does God's light go when it's night? I'm going to be not facetious, but, you know, does he turn his back and his light only comes out of his face? How? Just drive yourself crazy with that, just for homework. Answers on a postcard. Not really. So, but it's an interesting question, isn't it? So, God's covenant promise moving forward to Noah was never to flood the earth again. And the rainbow is to remind God, that's God's post-it note. Mustn't do that again, mustn't do that again. I'm sure he's not quite like that. But it says that the rainbow is to remind him that he will never flood the earth again. And Genesis 8, 20 to 22 says, this is after the boats landed and they've all got out and everything and it's gone dry. Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet odor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, because the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will not again smite every living creature, every living thing, as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now Jeremiah 31:35 says, so says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the laws of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea when its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. So we've got the day and the night because of God. Because God created the light. God created day and night first, before he created the moon. So, yes, God is light. Now Psalm 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Daniel 2:22 says, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And James 1:7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Now, jumping from one end of the Bible to the other, we know the end. We know how it ends. We're so blessed. And in heaven, in Revelation 22:5, it says, there will be no night there. They need no lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And this was even predicted or foretold in the Old Testament, Isaiah 60:19-20, and it's not on the screen, says, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon to give light to you, but the Lord will be to you for an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun will no more go down, nor your moon withdraw, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be ended. So we know that right from the very beginning, God is light, and he said, let there be light. Right at the end, when we're in heaven eternally, there won't be a sun, there won't be a moon, there won't be night, because God is our light and he will illumine heaven forever. So this is the awesomeness of our God who is light. Now, God also shines his light on his people. In the when the Hebrews were leaving Egypt, there was all the plagues. Moses was caused to have the plagues happening so that to try and convince Pharaoh to let them go. Didn't work until the last one, but there you go. Now, the ninth plague was darkness. And this is one of the only two plagues where he didn't go and say to Pharaoh, this is going to happen. It was just God said, do it. So Exodus 10, 21 to 23. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, so that one may even feel the darkness. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's so poetic, isn't it? So dark, I could even feel it. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did any rise for him his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. So God gives light to his people. Now, a little bit further on after they've got out of Egypt, Exodus 13, 21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the right way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. Like we were saying before, I can't walk very far safely without a torch. And I think that's the only place that darkness can give us fear, because we don't know what we're going to fall over. Psalm 27, verse 1, which is a psalm of David, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 43, 3 says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacles. And the start of Psalm 118, verse 27 says, God is the Lord who gives light to us. So, God is light. He shines his light on his people. But also, Jesus is light. Now, in Isaiah 42, verse 6, it was foretold about Jesus. It said, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you a covenant for the people, for a light of the nations. And then John 1, John's brilliant book, John 1, verse 1 to 9, and you probably all know this as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome, comprehend it. Now, in my New King James Bible, the word wealth talks about the word comprehend. The Greek is katalambano, and it's capable of three interpretations. To seize, lay hold of, or overcome, as in the darkness does not gain control over it. To perceive, lay hold of with the mind, apprehend with mental or moral effort, as in the darkness is unreceptive and does not understand it. Or to quench, extinguish, snuff out the light by stifling it, as in the darkness will never be able to eliminate it. Light and darkness are essentially antagonistic. We know 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? They are completely opposite, never the twain meet. The Christian's joy is in knowing that light is not only greater than darkness, but will also outlast the darkness. That's what my little bit in my Bible says. So carrying on in John, there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. That's John the Baptist. This one came as a witness, to bear witness concerning the light, so that all might believe through him. He, that is John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. But he, Jesus, was the true light. He enlightens every man coming into the world. Now, John's gospel is unique in that it has 7 I am statements from Jesus. And we went through them at the start of this year in our ladies group, and that was very enlightening. Bad pun. Sorry. So he said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. But the second one was, I am the light of the world. So John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And again in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, not only is Jesus the light, he came to bring us into the light. And just reading through these verses, it's not whether we feel it, you know, it's not what we think on a particular day. This is what the Word of God says, so this is what is. So John 12:36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. Jesus spoke these things. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, so that whoever believes on me should not remain in darkness. Colossians 1:12-14, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remissions of sins. So we've been taken from the kingdom of darkness, translated, beam me up, Scotty, into the kingdom of light. You know, it's happened. We're not there, we're here. You know, I've been translated from England to Australia. I might feel English, but I'm living in Australia. This is where I am. Doesn't matter how English I might feel or act, I am in Australia. I am in the kingdom of light. I'm not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. I'm in the kingdom of light. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are all the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Doesn't get much clearer than this. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that we might show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:6, in 4:4 it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving ones, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them. But then in verse 6, it says, for it is God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, who shone in our hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And 1 John 2:8-10 says, again, I write a new commandment to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light now shines. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no offense in him. So Jesus has brought us into the light. Now God's word is amazing. God's word brings light. Psalm 19 verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, giving light to the eyes. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We need that lamp. We need that light. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, I was blessed yesterday morning. I do the Word for Today online. I don't have the book. I just look at it every day online. And so what it said yesterday, it started off with the unfolding of your words gives light. I thought, yes. American President Woodrow Wilson said, "I am sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and of the pleasure. It is one of the most singular books in the world, for every time you open it, some old text that you have read a score of times suddenly beams with a new meaning. There is no other book that I know of which this is true. There is no other book that yields its meaning so personally, that seems to fit itself so intimately to the very spirit that is seeking its guidance." So I thought, yes, I must be on the right track. So there's light in the word. Read it, get it. There's light, there's light for the righteous. Psalm 97:11 says, "Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart." Psalm 112 verse 4 says, "To the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of pity and righteousness." Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day." And Proverbs 13:9 says, "The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out." Now that light is not just for the righteous, that light is there to guide us. Psalm 43:3 says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your tabernacles." Probably said that before, but I'm saying it again. Luke 1:79 says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And that's what the light does. It guides our feet into the right place. So God can make the darkness light for us. Psalm 18:28 says, "For you will light my candle. The Lord my God will make my darkness light." Psalm 112 verse 4 says, "To the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of pity and righteousness." Psalm 139:11, Linda's favorite one. "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me." Even the night shall be light around me. Sorry, didn't put the emphasis there. Psalm 139 verse 12. "Yea, the darkness does not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. As is the darkness, so is the light to you." Doesn't make any difference to God. You know, he doesn't need the light to see. We do, but he doesn't. Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. I will do these things to them and not forsake them." And I came across an interesting one in Ecclesiastes 11 verse 7. It says, "Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for eyes to behold the sun." Now I just happened to be reading an article in the last couple of days that said that they've proved that being out in the sunshine is good for your mental health. You know, the more you're out in the sunshine during the day and you're not in front of artificial light at night, it's better for your mental health. So I just thought, wow, isn't that amazing that it ties in exactly with God's word? So God is light. Jesus is light. But he wants our light to shine. He's brought us into the light. He wants our light to shine. Matilda's favorite verse, Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and don't we know it, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Matthew 5, Amplified, yes, I know it's in the Amplified as well. Yes, but I'm just talking about light. Matthew 5:14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on a lampstand. And it gives light," didn't put up there, "it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I actually looked at the Greek for shine and give light. And it's lampo. I think we get our word lamp from the Greek. Lampas is the Greek word for light, torch, beacon, lamp, meteor. Who knew? I do now. You do now. So, in summary, God is light. His light shines on his people. Jesus is light. Jesus came to bring us into the light. And that's a big transfer. God's word brings light. There's light for the righteous and light to guide us. He makes the darkness light. And he wants our light to shine. So there we go. Isn't that awesome? How good is God that he is light, that he's called us into the light, and he wants us to shine our lights. Remember at the start when you were all shining your little lights? And it was quite light in here. Let your little light shine. And I'm not going to sing. Tempting though it may be. But I'll pray for us all now. Lord, we just thank you that you are light, that Jesus is light, and you've called us into the light and you want our light to shine. Lord, let us be your lights everywhere we go, today and all this week, Lord. Keep shining through us for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well done, Karen. Praise the Lord. Ladies' meetings are Tuesday, 10 o'clock, if you want to hear more. Praise the Lord. I was blessed. Amen. Now, there's a light inside of each one of us that has to be revealed, that the world might behold. And even though we're in a daytime experience, there's gross darkness as it's covering the earth. Who believes that this morning? More so than ever before does he need his church to shine brightly in integrity and truth and honesty of the Spirit, walking the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, never drawing back from the truth, because that is truly the light to the world. Amen. Karen, that was amazing. Well done. Good job. So, let's stand this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. More than ever before does he need his church to shine bright. I was at a celebration service yesterday of a gentleman, Jelly's dad. And the celebration, JC, his name is Jean-Claude, JC we call him. And never before do we realize how much emphasis and how much, how much impotence the man has got in people's lives, because his light was released and revealed to people through his love, through his commitment, through his dedication to the things of God. And it's a testimony. And when we stand before the Lord on that day, if you're a born-again believer, you will be given a crown of life. But in the book of James, it also says you'll be given a crown of glory. And that's the light that he wants, when we reveal the light on this earth, that's the reward you get for revealing that light upon the earth. And who knows, in Christendom, in your own personal walks, sometimes it's hard to be that light. Sometimes it's tough to not speak out and act in that carnal mind and walk that carnal way. But every time we choose him, every time I say, Lord, I put on the mind of Christ today. Every time I choose to walk in the light that he's given to my feet. Amen. And the revelation of that word, it will bring light to others around me. And I don't have to try and be it. I am. Now hear me. You are the sons of light. You are. Amen. So when we walk into a place, you automatically bring that light. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. I really got blessed out of that. So that's awesome. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee, some fellowship, and remember who you are and whose you are in Jesus' name. Amen.